Welcome back to Tip TV Finance, where I am joined by Mike Oswald, who's a strategist at ADM Investor Services. And the real headline of the day is not the crash in the bond market or what Trump's going to do, but actually Iceland suing Iceland, isn't it?
Apparently.
It's just more important than anything else. I mean, if you thought the world had gone mad already, now it really has gone mad. I mean, it's worse than Alice in Wonderland, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, I don't know how any EU court could ever give the company Iceland the trademark and copyright to the name of a sovereign country at the sovereign country's expense. But hey, it's a mad world.
Well, I think Iceland's probably over the years, Iceland the food company, probably had a more stable ride than Iceland the country. So maybe that's what they were forecasting.
8 years ago, obviously, Iceland was not exactly flavour of the month, particularly here in the UK.
It could have been taken over by Iceland Foods.
Maybe,
yes. All right, so we've got more serious matters today. You brought some slides in. Mm-hmm. What's your view of the world at the moment?
Well, I mean, the bond market sell-off that we've had has been really quite remarkable. In this particular chart is the US 2-year versus the US 5-year. You can see since Donald Trump came in that the 5-year has actually underperformed the 2-year massively, as we've seen this relentless rise in yields. Partly because of the expected rise in fiscal stimulus, partly because it's expected that that will also drive inflation. But one of the other reasons for this we'll come to a little bit later, which is quite important. but for me, we are getting to a point where you're looking at US yields, 10 years about 240, and you're looking at what's available elsewhere and wondering when are the people... This is probably going to happen next week because it's end of month. When are the people who have been unwilling to buy when gilts were down at 0.5, unwilling to buy at 1%, are they going to, is there going to be some end of month rebalancing, which they should do, given that there's been a massive outperformance of equities and massive underperformance in government bond markets? going back to this, I think the significant part, if we move on to the next slide, that highlights the fact that we are now in 5-year yield terms at 5-year highs for the US 5-year. So it really is a big breakup on the upside. You would have thought that as we get closer to 2%, particularly as we're coming into year end and particularly given a lot of political uncertainty out there in the world, that perhaps there will be some people stepping in to buy. One of the bigger problems here actually has been, it's not only been a case of people putting on the Trump reflation trade, but also a lot of FX reserve managers, sovereign wealth funds, above all China, and the Gulf countries, the OPEC producers who are particularly suffering due to the shortfall of oil revenues, have also been liquidating holdings of treasuries, particularly in that 5-year area, which is a typical area that they would own. So it's not just the fact that the 5-year area is one of the most sensitive when you're in an environment where people are saying, well, actually, rates are going to have to go up quite significantly. So if we come to the final slide, this is sort of the other story in here, because as much as people have focused on the big rise that we've had in bond yields, we are actually making constantly fresh all-time lows on the German 2-year, and that's the reason for that going up so much. So the German 2-year yield is now down to minus 0.75, a million miles away, obviously, from where the ECB could buy it, and that is being definitely driven by political risk, and that is also, to a certain extent, what's keeping that US 2-year yield down because of the perceived political risk. We've obviously coming up very soon, the Italian referendum.
So Renzi asking the people to sack him like Cameron?
He's definitely made it a back me or sack me issue. The only thing which might help the yes vote there is the fact that Mr. Berlusconi has poked his head above the parapet once more and started to attack Mr. Renzi, and given the severe dislike for Mr. Berlusconi, particularly as he's seen as the architect of many of Italy's economic woes in recent years.
It's a foul slur.
That might help a bit. However, I think the key issue with the...
Basically, people are betting on a breakup of the EU, which leaves...
Well, they're certainly pricing...
They're looking at Germany on its own, almost anticipating what Germany would be on its own, or not without having to bail out...
Well, they're certainly seeing it as a safe haven from the rest of the problems in Europe. You've got the French-German 10-year spread also at the highest levels we've seen for quite some time. So the risk in Italy, basically, is less that Renzi resigns and rather more that what happens afterwards is, you know, will they be able to form a technocratic government, as is expected, in sufficient time, or will it drag out and perhaps end up in Q2? And if it goes on for that long, then there is a serious concern that they might go to a fresh general election. The greatest irony here, actually, and I think this is where a lot of the political machinations that are going on in Italy, is it would be better for the mainstream parties if the constitutional changes were voted down, because if they voted through, there's a much stronger chance that the five-star movement would achieve an absolute majority. And that, of course, is something that, you know, that would be as big a shock, obviously, as both Brexit and Mr. Trump winning.
Right. I mean, the only thing that we're seeing there with this, the way that Brexit's going, and obviously after the autumn statement, is that you've now got the because before it was like, you know, it's too complicated, we can't do the paperwork and, you know, all this sort of stuff. And the deals. Now it's just like we're going bust, so we can't actually afford to leave. So you'll have the same. You'll have that excuse now everywhere. They'll say, well, you know, even if the people vote for, you know, five star comes in, whatever it is, even whatever happens, they'll say, well, actually, you're so bust now, you can't leave, and you can't make it on your own. And so we've got the same thing here.
Yes.
So it'll just be like, you know, we really would have loved to have given you Brexit and Italian exit and all the other ones, but we just have got to stay in the EU now because we've got to huddle together because we're all doomed. So that does seem to be one of the new device, let's say, which has come in.
But that's a super bifurcated risk, because if you say on the one hand, well, you can't, well, the UK can't afford to leave, and Italy certainly can't afford to leave.
So we're
then you look at the other side of the coin here in the UK, and you know, how many people are going to be going to the barriers, because we've got a very, very divided country here in the UK. And certainly Mr. Farage, I think, is in sufficient a rabble-rouser to get people going to the barriers. And then you start to look at something which is even more ugly, because people will say, well, is the country ungovernable? Obviously, that's the other thing which is, you know, the concern in Italy. You know, is it becoming ungovernable? So that would be a particularly nasty variation on
the money. The money thing, can't afford to leave, looks to be...
Well, I think one... I'm going to give Mr. Hammond a bit of the benefit of the doubt. I've been very critical of the Bank of England jumping the gun. I think with all its, you know, its rate cut and the extra QE. I think in Mr. Hammond's case, given we've just had the GDP numbers for Q3 revised, it all looks great. Even business investment was up. So would this have been the moment to go for a big fiscal stimulus when you know there's so much uncertainty ahead? Or is it better, as he's done effectively, to keep it up his sleeve for when things become clear of how the whole Brexit negotiations are going to pan out? So I think one does need to give him a bit of the benefit of the doubt there.
Not something I would do, but you can, Mark. I'm delighted on your behalf. But in the meantime, Mark Oswald, strategist, ADM Investor Service, thanks for coming today.